irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch, as you always are this time here on LA Talk Radio. Yes, cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk, as always, where you get the help, some answers to your questions, suggestions, ideas to make you feel better, right here on my couch. So stay tuned, because we have, as always, an amazing subject, and I have a terrific guest coming up as well. I want to invite you to, by the way, call in if you'd like. If you have questions or comments, you can always do so. The number here in Los Angeles, 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. Or if you are shy, you don't want to get your voice on the air, you can email me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. I know it's kind of long, but it's easy once you get it in there. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. Let me know what you think, some of your opinions. If you'd like to express, you know, some ideas, contribute to what we're talking about today. Love to hear from you, as always. All right. So today we're talking about A Sober Mom's Guide to Recovery. But this, to me, and we'll talk to our guest about this, is not only applying to moms, it's applying to everybody. This is about her journey, her book that she's written, and what lessons she has learned from being sober, being a mom, working a full life of, a lot of stress, as we all do, but some of the coping skills that she has used to help her. And she sounds wonderful and has helped so many people. So, you know, the deal is that a lot of us can enjoy the occasional glass of wine with dinner or beer or a drink, right? A mixed drink out with our friends. But for a lot of other people, one drink becomes two and becomes four. And, you know, it's really difficult sometimes to stop drinking. So it's a difficult thing. And you all know this. We've all read the literature. You've heard me on the show before talk about this. It's a chronic disease, alcoholism. People are physically dependent upon alcohol, and you know, they feel a need to drink, almost in the same way sometimes that a lot of folks feel the need to eat, you know. And once alcoholics start drinking, it's really difficult for them to stop. It's not that they're bad people. You can't judge people. It's a tolerance physiologically that they develop to alcohol. So it kind of requires more and more drinks to feel the same effects. And there's symptoms of withdrawal and sweating and nausea and shakiness and all these, really uncomfortable things, especially anxiety and depression, when an alcoholic tries to cut down or stop drinking. This is getting sober, and it's really difficult. You know, so, a lot of organizations say to close to 20 million, 20 million Americans abuse alcohol or are alcoholists. So it's a disorder, it's a disease, and there's a lot of emotional conflict that goes on with it, especially when you have a lot of stressors in your life, and you're responsible for a family, you're responsible for kids, so it's not easy at all. And today, so that's what we're going to focus on, and I invite you to call in or call the 323-203-0815 specifically, or you can email me, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. This is a difficult subject to approach, because probably all of us have experienced, you know, someone who's abused substances, alcohol, in our families or who are close to us. And it's a tough journey. But becoming sober is even tougher for the individual. And especially motherhood, which is difficult enough, you know, especially when you're struggling to remain sober. Well, dealing with life's daily grind, it just seems really impossible. So today we're talking about Rosemary's book. It's called A Sober Mom's Guide to Recovery, Taking Care of Yourself to Take Care of Your Kids. And that's job one in my book, as it is in Rosemary O'Connor's. And she's talking to me about the wisdom and guidance to helping recovery mothers really tackle some of the most complex problems facing women, you know, during sobriety. And again, I think we can also apply this to anyone who, you know, has been dealing with alcoholism and has gotten through steps if they're going through an AA program or is trying to become sober or is sober. So, you know, it can be really difficult. So I'd like to bring her up here live on the air. Rosemary, so nice to have you with us, and thanks so much for writing this book to help people.
Oh, gosh, and thank you, Dr. Michelle, so much for having me on. I really appreciate having help getting the word out there.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's so important to do that. By the way, I want to let folks know that you are a certified addiction recovery coach, a certified professional coach, and you founded ROC Recovery Services to respond to the specific needs of women and mothers in recovery. You have done so much. You've been a workshop facilitator for Bayside Marin and on staff at the Altamira Recovery Program, Muirwood Adolescent Family. I love Muirwood's up there. The Adolescent Family Program and Five Sisters Ranch. And you're also on the advisory board of Stepping Stone, which is, I love that organization. They're the oldest alcohol and drug recovery program for women in Northern California. So good for you, girl. You've really done it.
Thank you. I feel really grateful to have, you know, all these opportunities. It's just really all a gift from my sobriety.
Yeah, sure. It is. You know, that's the first start, looking at it as a gift. And good for you, girl. In your book, by the way, guys, it's called A Sober Mom's Guide to Recovery. And it's, you know, taking care of yourself first to take care of your kids. And you guys know what I say at the end of the show. Always take care of yourself first, and then you'll be good for others. So she's right up my alley here. And, you know, you give so many excellent recovery tools in your book. Really good psychological self-help book here for moms specifically, but anyone can use these tools who are alcoholics or substance abuse individuals. So I always like to find out the impetus for writing certain books and why people are doing such good work as yourself. So can you share your story, Rosemary, about how you hit bottom and some of the incidences that caused you guilt?
Oh, definitely. I was separated from my, what I call my husband now.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, my kids were 2, 5, and 8, and I was going back to work. Didn't know how I was going to raise these kids by myself, you know, financially, emotionally, physically. And my solution was, when all the anxiety came up, was to drink. And
sure.
As fear. Yeah. So long story short, that whole year I was going down really quickly. I was a daily drinker along with a binge drinker. And all sorts of things were happening. I was starting to black out.
Oh, boy.
Start to end up in strange places. And really the bottom line why I got help was I had gone out. My kids were 2, 5, and 8, and I hired she was almost 11, so really a 10-year-old babysitter, and I told him I would be out just for a few hours and home about 9 p.m., you know, just a few. And, bottom line is I did not come home to my kids.
Oh, boy.
And ended up, again, in some strange place. You know, I left all dressed up in a gorgeous, you know, sequined gown back when they were in. And, you know, and I strolled in that morning in my same gown, one shoe. I had thrown up all over my gown. And I, you know the picture. And I walked into my three precious children sitting on the couch. I mean, I still get choked up because I can see the look on their faces, you know, even 16 years later, the looks in their eyes.
Sure.
And my best friend was there, and so was my soon-to-be ex-husband. They had been out all night looking for me, calling the hospital, calling the police station. Mm. And needless to say, my kids were just a wreck and almost shocked. You know, because that wasn't how they usually saw me.
Right.
That wasn't the type of mom I set out to be. And it was the look in, my ex-husband's eyes looked at me and, you know, shook his head in disgust. And he didn't say it, but the look in his eyes was, if you don't get your act together, I'm taking these kids from you. I just knew it.
Sure.
So,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing that story. It's not easy to share those stories with the world because it's, you know, but good for you.
Well, you know, today I know I'm not that person anymore.
And that's
right. I was really sick with a horrible disease.
Yes.
And so, so it's really, you know, and that's one of my reasons for writing the book. I didn't want women or whoever was reading it to feel the shame and guilt that, so it's no longer difficult sharing my story.
Sure.
Which is the good news.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, when you do, a lot of people say, wow, I did that too. Wow. She's making me feel like I'm not alone. And, you know, that's the first part here. It's you say in your book that getting sober and clean is like dropping a single rock into a still pond and sending healing ripples out to our family and friends and all the people who share our journey of recovery. Mm-hmm. That's beautifully put. I love that. So you talk about taking the first step, and it's admitting that we have a problem, of course. That's step number one in the AA program. And so what can you suggest for people who are just sort of climbing out, getting sober? What are some of the tools for climbing up after hitting bottom as you did?
Well, I know for me, I got sober because I was afraid I was going to lose my kids. Mm. And I didn't know enough about the disease.
Mm-hmm.
So I just knew I wanted something to be different.
Right.
And so I just really had this moment of clarity that if I didn't pick up the phone and ask for help, 5 o'clock would roll around again and I'd be drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just had that split moment where I picked up the phone book when we had phone books and looked up the word alcoholism and called AA, and a woman agreed to meet me at a meeting, and that's where I, you know, found other people just like myself.
Neat.
And so it was just, you know, the first step, as scared as I was, just to go where there's help.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, that's wonderful because part of that help, too, is not only do we have to get clean and sober, and there's a lot of physiological changes and mental changes as well that are very, you know, we have to really power through them. But one of the biggest things that we have to deal with is guilt, you know, from some of the incidents, you know, which you described a little earlier, and they always haunt us. You know, we have those ruminations about, oh my God, remember when I did this? Oh my God, my kids were scared, and here I am with this weird night and waking up somewhere I didn't know. So how do we get over that cycle or get through that cycle of shame and guilt and self-hatred, all those things?
Well, the most important thing is to just stop drinking or using for starters.
Mm-hmm.
And then is to really learn about the disease. You know, people confuse guilt and shame. And guilt is, you know, I stole the cookie and lied about it. And shame is that I interpret I'm a bad person because of that.
Okay.
And really, once you understand that it's a disease that you do not have control over, and that's why, you know, there's no cure, there's just daily treatment for it.
Right.
And then again, to just start showing up for your kids, showing up for yourself, and taking continued advice on and support of other people that are feeling just the same way that you do.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Rosemary O'Connor. Boy, we're talking about her book, which is so helpful. It's a sober mom's guide to recovery, taking care of yourself to take care of your kids. And, you know, let me just mention, this is about Rosemary's journey and what she learned and her therapy and the 12 steps of AA. It's all about what you're really going to have to go through and things to think about. And also, she shares a lot of her own experiences and thoughts and stories, which really can help you guys out there. And again, this is not just for moms, but it's Rosemary's story. But it's for everybody who finds themselves really needing to recover and get sober, and what they should expect and how to take care of themselves on the journey. If you want to call in, guys, 323-203-0815. I do have a lot of emails coming in here because, you know, as I said earlier, Rosemary, you know, something like 20, I think they're saying like 20 million Americans abuse alcohol or are alcoholics. And like you said, it's a disease. This is a heavy thing. So questions are coming in, but I still want to, get a little bit more information from you about some of the things that we're having to deal with. So you shared the story about when you were newly sober and working full time with three kids. Oh my gosh, girl. I don't know how. what are some of those tools to overcome some of the exhaustion that comes up with trying to manage all this stuff that we have to take care of?
Well, yeah. You know, I know for me, and especially because of the guilt and shame, and I didn't understand it. A lot of what us mothers do, and I think women in general, it was just, you know, my to-do list was just miles long.
Yeah.
And it was really something that possibly five women needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I first just, you know, the key is learning to take care of ourselves first. So cutting the list down, you know, I was an overworker, an overdoer, an overvolunteer, and I really had to slow down and start just taking care of myself, which meant eating right,
yes,
you know, sleeping, naps. I'm a big fan of bubble baths.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
So, and to not parent from guilt. You know, I was, you know, buying their love, so I was trying to make up for you know, some things that I still felt a lot of guilt about, and just going.
Yes, exactly.
And that's really the key, is to learn to slow down, mm-hmm. not expect so much of yourself, and treat yourself like you'd treat somebody else. There's no way I would, you know, when my daughter's older, would I tell her to run around crazy like I did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, that's right. No, so that's really helpful. And you do have some really good tools, you know, in there. It's interesting because, Rosemary, we got an email here. It looks like her name is Allie. I think that's a woman's name, Allie. And it just comes in perfectly here. So that's why I thought I'd grab it and just put it out to you because it was really close to the next question I was going to ask. So here we go. She said, hey, Doc, I have lost a lot of friends and family along my journey of becoming sober. I had a lot of bad behaviors, and I feel a lot of shame and guilt. I feel very lonely and don't know how to get a lot of these people back in my favor. What should I do? And that's tough because that's a real common issue. I was going to ask you, you know, about the loneliness, you know, and how tough it is sometimes. So
well, you know, they say that's a great question.
Yeah.
It's huge. It is all, there's so much tangled into that one question.
Yeah.
You know, they say that alcoholism or addiction is a lonely disease, and it wants to get us feeling lonely enough, so our only option is to drink.
Right.
A lot of times when we get sober, you know, basically we created a lot of damage and broken a lot of trust, and, you know, people in early recovery, you know, they know they're stopping drinking and they're feeling great, but you know, it takes a long time to rebuild trust. And, you know, for me, a lot of those friends actually went by the wayside, and that was good news because they you know, seemed like great friends, but really they just, when I look back on it, they were a lot of drinking buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And so the bottom line is, you just keep staying sober, stop beating yourself up, do the best you can, and and stay sober. Do whatever it takes, because mm-hmm. I promise you that you will get back in your life, and I can't tell you how quickly, the people that are really, that you really want back in your life. But I can't tell you when it's going to happen, other than stay sober. And I can guarantee you at some point, either you're going to let go of those people that were, you know, no longer serving you,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to bring in new friends.
Right.
And,
exactly.
So you will get over the loneliness. It's a difficult one, though.
It's true. And I think a lot of family members and friends sometimes, especially, you would think in this day and age, but they're fearful, you know, especially mm-hmm. if we've had a lot of, incidences in front of them or situations mm-hmm. they can't forgive or whatever, you know. So
right.
it's really difficult to try to talk your way back into, okay, I'm sober now, every day, step by step, and I'm really working on myself. Some people just have a hard time, and you're right. They have to, you know, just, we have to allow them to be who they are and think what they want
right.
to think, and hopefully eventually they may come back to us, and maybe
right.
not. Maybe that's okay. And as you
right.
said, too, we meet a lot of nice new friends in the sober mm-hmm. community when we're going mm-hmm. to meetings, that kind of thing, because we're all each other's champions,
mm-hmm.
you know, right?
Right.
But
right.
we're alone.
And another thing I see, you know, I run a sober living for women over 30. So
yeah.
A lot of them are moms
mm-hmm.
or single, and they're going, the single ones are going back home, and they're by themselves, so
mm-hmm.
they're feeling lonely.
Yeah.
And then the moms are rushing back in to take care of those kids, and they don't even know how to take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
and you know, it's really learning how to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And a lot of people go back, and they want to make it all up very quickly, and that's really not good for you.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree. Yeah, absolutely. I also really appreciated that chapter you did on dating. It's a cautionary tale. Because, I mean, I have friends, I have patients who, you know, were divorced. They have kids. They're newly sober. Or even a year out sober. And they think, oh, God, I am lonely. You know, I want to start dating again. I want to get out there. What are some of the cautions that you give women who would like to sort of get out there and start meeting people again? And now that, yeah, and there is a euphoria from being, you know, that first part of being sober. You're like, yes, new beginnings. Right.
Right.
What would
right.
you suggest to maybe caution some men and women who are, you know,
right.
newly sober to get out there?
Right. Well, first of all, read my book and just do everything opposite of what I did in the beginning.
Right. There you go. Don't do what I did. That's right.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's often is people put down the drink or the drug and then they pick up something else.
Mm-hmm.
Some people pick up food. Some people, you know, pick up anything so they don't have to focus on the pain and guilt and fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's what I did. And then my family was, you know, torn apart, and I thought, oh, let's just put this nice little family back together
mm-hmm.
and bring in, you know, another man, which is the worst thing you can do because,
yeah.
You know, relationships take a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And
they do.
You don't even know yourself. And
mm-hmm.
you, or I'll say I, but, you know, a lot of the women I coach and mentor, it's very true.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's that first year is so important to take the time for yourself.
Right.
You have a little bit that you're going to have between raising kids
mm-hmm.
and going to meetings and possibly working if that's.
Yeah.
So there is, bottom line is there's no room
yeah.
for another relationship.
Yeah. And also, you know, in the recovery process, if we're in a recovery program or we're in AA constantly, or we have a good therapist along with the, you know, sober living treatment, we really are encouraged to focus on ourselves and take care of ourselves
mm-hmm.
first. And that's, you know, mm-hmm. that's so important. By the way, in case you guys just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Rosemary O'Connor, she's written a really good book. It's called A Sober Mom's Guide to Recovery, Taking Care of Yourself to Take Care of Your Kids. Now, let me just tell you guys, this is not only just for moms. It's Rosemary's journey, and she's come forth with a lot of personal information, which I'm sure a lot of you folks may identify with out there if you've gone through this, and also what she has learned in her journey. And she can tell you all this good stuff, too, because, you know, she has certainly been experienced as a certified addiction recovery coach, professional coach. She founded ROC Recovery Services. And she's really responding to the specific needs of women and mothers in recovery. But again, guys, hey, pick this book up. It's wonderful. It'll really help you out and kind of help you square away some of the things that you need to look at and take care of. Something else you mentioned in your book, Rosemary, was, you know, besides being cautious about just jumping out there because you're lonely and dating, you talk about, you know, the love addicts. Like you said earlier, we replace that addiction with another addiction. we kind of love addicts, yeah. Right? So how do we overcome being those love addicts?
Well, a couple things, you know. Go to a therapist, if you can, that specializes in relationships and love addiction specifically. And there's also a wonderful 12-step program called Sex and Love Addiction, or just Love Addiction. And it's, again, people just like you that, and many, many of them are also, they've been sober for a while.
Yeah.
And it's really about, it's not about, like, finding the right partner, although that helps. It's really more about finding yourself and not going outside yourself for someone to fix you.
Boy, is that big.
Or to fill that, yeah, fill that deep dark hole that we always talk about in recovery.
Right.
You know, we're looking for something to, and really the process is, you know, finding a higher power or God of your understanding and finding some self-worth and self-esteem. But yeah, again, and there's so many great books, Facing Love Addiction by Pia Melody. Melanie Beattie's got some great things for codependency. And it's really about focusing on other people, looking for them to fulfill your life instead of finding it inside you.
Yes, exactly. Well said. That's right, Rosemary. You also talk about something that I see a lot in my practice, and I know you do too. It's people who invite a lot of drama into their lives, you know, and you quote something here, and I love this. It says, drama doesn't just walk into your life out of nowhere. You create it, invite it, or associate with people who bring it. That's so true. You know, we get into that. It's a habit. It's an addiction. The drama, we release endorphins when we have drama and excitement and, passion and anger and, it just gets crazy. So you say, don't be a drama mama. So how do we, you know, some folks have personality disorders and, you know, it's real difficult to try to change that because those have been there a long time. But how do we diffuse that drama mama mode that you talk about?
Well, and like, you know, again, like you said, it's also, it's about back to that we want to focus on other things and other people and talking about everything that's wrong with them and instead of focusing on myself.
Yeah.
And for instance, you know, early in recovery, my ex-husband might have, you know, sparked something that was made me angry.
Yeah.
And then I would get on the phone and talk to all of my girlfriends that, and we just bashed him, you know, instead of looking at what was really going on with me. So it's exhausting, first of all.
Yes.
You know, all that energy and all that hype or spending all the time gossiping instead of working on ourselves or enhancing our life. It's something else to focus outside ourselves.
Right.
And it can be, you know, it can feel very empowering. You know, I think a lot of people do that. The gossip is when they don't feel good about themselves, they've got to put other people down so they feel better than
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter, early in recovery, or many years in recovery, if you're not doing the work on yourself, you're still not feeling better about yourself.
Yes, so, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we have a really good email right now from Ryan that just came up, and I really like this because this is talking about just exactly, you know, what we're looking at here about taking care of yourself first and then thinking about getting out there and that kind of thing. And Ryan says, I've been sober for just over 2 years and think I'm ready to get into a relationship. I've done the 12 steps, still working them. Good for you, Ryan. Good for you. Should I try and find a relationship with a woman who has been in recovery as well, and what are the problems with that?
Oh, okay.
That's a good question, Ryan. Oh, boy, yeah, is right.
A lot of that's in my second book.
Oh, good.
A lot of times people, they say that, you know, the two relapse triggers are romance and finance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very true, because there's still a lot of wounds that need to be healed.
Mm, yeah.
But, you know, just because someone's even 20 years sober, or that doesn't mean they're healthy.
Okay.
Doesn't mean that they know how to do a relationship.
So, Ryan,
you know, tiptoe out there. Remember to focus on yourself. And for me, I have this attitude about relationships. Show up, be honest, have some fun, and learn something about yourself. There's also that funny saying, being in a relationship is like putting Miracle-Gro on your character defect.
Right.
And I just say I've learned a lot about myself in dating.
Right.
And so I'd say make sure that you don't make this woman your higher power or your end-all. Keep focusing on yourself and, stay real close to the program, because I see many women I work with, whether I'm coaching them or mentoring them, they go out because there's so many triggers that a relationship can bring up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So that's great advice. And Ryan, thanks for having the courage to email us. Sounds to me like you might be interested in a woman right now who's in recovery. Ryan? So hear what Rosemary said, and, be cautious.
And there is that other thing, too, about, we have a certain language and understanding and vulnerability that we find in the room. So, that vulnerability can be really tricky, too.
Yep.
Outside, there's that other challenge of people drinking. I don't mind a date having a beer every now and then.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be with people that are partying. That's their main, weekend thing.
Right.
And remember, just because you're dating someone in sobriety doesn't mean that they might relapse too.
Right.
So, there's no guarantees in life with anything.
Great question. You said it, though. You said it. And thanks so much for emailing us, Ryan. And he said he went through the 12 steps. Good for you. Still working them. Good for you. And the fourth step, by the way, of AA, is to make, quote, a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. So I've always thought, working with people, that is probably one of the most difficult steps. And it's one of the most powerful messages that you've talked about in your book, about working on this step. So I really enjoyed reading about some of your own experiences, with step four. And can you talk about why revealing authentic self is so important? What is the benefit of that?
Well, again, when addicts and alcoholics carry so much shame about some of their behaviors, so there's something really magical about sitting across women stick with women, men stick with men.
Right.
For me, sitting across another woman and I'm telling her all my deepest, darkest secrets that maybe I haven't even told my best friend, my hurt, my fears, and for her to just look at me with, loving, compassionate eyes and say, Right. I get it. I did that too.
Exactly.
And, you know, for me, it was the first time I really trusted someone.
Right.
Her acceptance of me and lack of judgment and compassion helped me find that for myself.
Yeah.
And really the whole process of recovery for me is just learning about myself.
Yes.
And, you know, both the good and the bad.
Right.
The talents I really have and using those in the world. And, once I found compassion for myself, I can really give it to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Used to have really high expectations of others.
Right.
My writing coach, Diane Conway, said, well, if everybody out there wasn't so god darn human, I'd be just fine.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We project so much of our own stuff onto other people, and that's what we do, you know. So we expect so much of others, but, you know, that little voice inside of us says, I don't think you're living up to what you think you should be. You know, so we're putting it on other people. But it's true, and we don't have control. We have to give it up, and that is part of the healing process, though, is finding that authentic self and going deep, going into the programs, 12 steps, great. Also getting a private therapy as well, a group therapy on another level is great, too.
Absolutely.
You know, and part of that, like you said, is being able to feel angry. And express it, because there's a lot of anger. Mm-hmm. We got frustration and anger going on. So that goes with that guilt and that blame and all that stuff we do. So
yeah, and I think most of us were never taught how to express anger.
Yeah.
I know for me it was either yell and scream or just give you the silent treatment.
Right. That's right. Do the passive aggressive thing. That's right. We do that.
Helping to me, healthy is just another emotion.
Sure.
There's nothing... But it's most of us stuff it down,
right?
And drink at people that they're angry at, and that just does more harm, obviously.
Sure, it sure does, absolutely. By the way, here on LA Talk Radio, on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle, is my special guest today, Rosemary O'Connor. She is a certified addiction recovery coach and a certified professional coach. She's written a terrific book. It's called A Sober Mom's Guide to Recovery, Taking Care of Yourself to Take Care of Your Kids. And that's what we're talking about today specifically. It's a tool book as well, a lot of great self-help tools to help you get through or work through sobriety and the stressors in our lives. And this is also for men as well. This is not just for women per se, but this is, you know, Rosemary's journey that she's sharing. So, of course, it's coming from a mom's place. And it's a really good book. We're going to tell you in just a little bit how to get hold of the book and find out more about Rosemary. You know, one of the most common words that's, of course, comes up in therapy and with just general therapy, not even in AA or Al-Anon or adult children of alcoholics, is codependency. You know, we've all heard about that, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to become that because you have an alcoholic parent or someone in your life. But what is your definition of being codependent, and how can we manage these tendencies within ourselves?
Yeah, there's so much, codependency in that word alone.
Yeah.
There's so many tangled into it. But I just simplify it on a couple ways. It's doing something for someone else that really they should or could do on their own at the expense of myself.
Right.
So, and then it's, for me, it's really the disease of control. Trying to control the world, people, places, and things so I feel okay.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter, I mean, people die of codependency.
Oh, yeah.
They get sick. It manifests very similar to the disease of, the chemically addicted.
Yeah.
With drugs and alcohol.
Right.
But it's really, for me, it's, if, like, for instance, if one of my kids aren't okay, then I'm not okay.
Right.
And if they're okay, I'm not. I'm okay. Yeah. And that's a horrible way to live, giving all your happiness over to somebody else, including your kids. Of course, we all want our kids to be happy and thriving.
Sure.
But, you know, usually they're not the entire life.
Yeah.
So it's about detaching from what's going on outside your skin and finding comfort and safety within yourself.
Wow. That is so true. That's really true. And it is. It really can. Codependency, it can make us literally physically sick. Because we're so worried about, we get out of ourselves and we're so focused on other people and depend on them. It's dependence. When we have someone who's codependent, you know, we're both working that game and it's really unhealthy, you know, trying to manage, managing those tendencies. So that's, it's so true. And that's part of the self-care you talk about as well in your book. There's a great chapter as well on self-care. Because, you know, Diane von Furstenberg, come on, guys. She said, when a woman becomes her own best friend, life is easier. Diane knew what she was talking about, you know?
Yeah, she did.
So a lot of people think that they can't really have a lot of fun and they can't celebrate because I have, you know, some patients who come on in and they say, yeah, it's always tough around the holidays because I know Uncle Bob's going to be shooting those whiskeys, and you know, I know that a lot of my cousins are going to be enjoying their liquor, and it's ooh, I have to go into the other room because I haven't quite learned yet because they like to party. So how can we celebrate life in sobriety? What are some of the tips you suggest for people?
Right. Well, you know, that was one of my biggest fears when I entered into recovery, was that I was going to no longer have any fun, and I've been sentenced to a life of misery and blah.
Right.
And it's been quite the opposite. Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing is that when we're out there having fun and we're not drunk or wasted, we wake up the next morning and we remember it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's
yep.
the first thing. You know, and I a lot of people, when they come in, they don't know what they like to do for fun. Mm-hmm. So I tell people, try on new things.
Yeah.
You know, things that maybe you did as a kid. I used to love to dance as a kid. So
sure.
All through my sobriety, I've taken all sorts of different dance classes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I didn't think I was a writer, an author, or definitely didn't think Hazelden was going to publish my book. But I just, you know, there was this urge inside of me to start writing.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh my gosh, I traveled the world with friends and family and by myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just, really the world, it's a big world out there and so much to do. And yes, the holidays can be very triggering.
Right.
You know, and that's why it's really important to have a support system.
That's right.
People just like yourself,
mm-hmm.
Trying to get through the holidays without drinking.
Right. And have your sponsors, you know, out there, just right there on speed dial.
Right.
Go away. Right. Walk out of the room. You know.
Right. Take your own car. You know, maybe don't go to that party where you're going to be triggered.
Or, right.
You know, go late, leave early. There's all sorts of, you know, that's why in my book each chapter ends with just practical tips.
Exactly.
You know, that's what I really wanted. You know, as a mom, we don't have time to read books most of the time. And I just wanted a quick little, okay, what do I do right now?
Right.
And
no, exactly. Yeah. And no, it's great because it is, you know, there's some really helpful tools in here. And, you know, they are things that we can participate in for ourselves, think about. They're great psychological tools that you write about in here. So, you know, I mean, it's just not like this quick little, and it's an easy read, by the way, folks. It's a very comfortable, easy read. And again, a lot of it is due to your ability to just share your situations with other people and openly be able to explain some of the predicaments you got yourself into. And you said, oh, my gosh, I have to get sober here. It's true, you know, and it's great.
Yeah.
It's wonderful for you to share this with folks because they really can benefit by it. So on that note, what's the best way to pick up your book, A Sober Mom's Guide to Recovery, Taking Care of Yourself to Take Care of Your Kids, and also to find out more about you, Rosemary?
Oh, well, thanks for asking. Yeah.
Sure.
Well, the publisher that's just amazing is Hazelden, and it's spelled H-A-Z, like zebra, mm-hmm. E-L-D-E-N .org. And click on their bookstore, and it's there. It's at Amazon. It's at a lot of local bookstores. You can also go to my website, mm-hmm. which is ROCRecoveryServices.com. You can learn more about my coaching I do and the sober living, and you can purchase a book right from there as well.
That's great. And by the way, go ahead.
It's got my contact info.
Super.
Email, and so, you know, if we didn't answer all those questions, go on my site and feel free to email me, and I'll get back to you with those answers.
That's great. No, that'll be terrific. And so that's the best way. And everybody know that this show will be up in the archives tomorrow. If you missed or just kind of tuned in late, you'd like more information about Rosemary's book, just replay the show, download it and replay it, because it's going to be here forever in the archives of LA Talk Radio on the couch with Dr. Michelle. Rosemary, you're a doll. Thank you so much for being here on the show. Great book.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Michelle. I love all the work you do. It's great. Needed out there in the world.
Oh, thank you so much. Keep up the good work. You said there's a second book on the way, so we'll love to have you come back on and talk more about that.
Oh, I'd love to.
All right.
Okay. Thanks
all right.
again.
You're welcome. Take good care, and thanks for your book.
Bye-bye
now. All righty, that's Rosemary O'Connor, again, author of A Sober Mom's Guide to Recovery. And I said it's not just for moms necessarily, it's also for guys, too. You know, the book, any kind of male, female, you don't have to be a mom. But there's great tools in here about how to take care of yourself in sobriety, things you will encounter, how to get over guilt and shame and all that yucky stuff, and most important, how to forgive yourself. So I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works. It's not narcissistic. It's just, come on now, you got to function first. That's the way it is. All right, Dr. Michelle here, out. And I hope you do take care of yourselves. And I'll be back next week with more great shows and information to help you out and get in touch with your self so you can be a happy person and live the life. Have a good one. Bye-bye now.